Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
If you've never been to healing class before, we have a little thing we go through. We lift up our Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles at the back that you're welcome to. You can, if you don't have one at home, you're welcome to take that one home too. But we hold up our Bibles and we make a confession of how we believe.
Where's your microphone?
Pardon?
Microphone.
It's here.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't? Okay, do y'all need to turn me up or something?
No wonder she said you started and I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, is that better? Can y'all hear me now? Can
yes.
hear me?
Okay. A little better.
All right.
Yeah, better than it was.
Okay. Well, we hold up our Bibles and we say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
It's God's word to me.
It strengthens me.
It refreshes me.
It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Got ourselves going here. We're getting started on this session. We'll have lessons for a few weeks here, and it's always a thrill for us to share God's precious word. Let's start with prayer and just invite the Holy Spirit here, who is the teacher, to just bring everything out that he wants brought out in this lesson. I've studied, I've looked at his word and prayed and depending on him to really make it what he wants it to be. Father, we thank you so much for your word, how rich it is to us. And Father, we just ask that you bring everything out that your heart desires to bring to the people tonight, and Lord, that their lives will be better when they leave, that they'll be enriched with the truth of your word, and that, Father, they will see more of your provision of healing than they ever have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I have, first of all, I want to if you got some notes at the very bottom, it's homework reading assignment. So I have some homework for you, and I just know you'll love reading these scriptures because they will bring more and more of his word, the realization of his word alive into your heart. You know, just hearing me talk about them is one thing, and it's good, but you getting into it yourself is what's really going to make a difference in your life. So that's something that I felt like we need to start doing. I will personally do that more, whether Derek and Joy do that, I don't know, but I feel like I need to get some assignments. So the title of my message tonight is More Abundantly, and I base that off of John 10:10. It says, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is just such a beautiful desire that Jesus presents to us. I want you to have life, but I want you to enjoy a lot of life, not just the eternal life that we have when we go to heaven someday. That's wonderful. That is so wonderful that we're spared from going into the pit of hell. He went there in our place, but he got so much more for us. This provision, the provisions that he has obtained for us, they're all in here. It's that more abundant life. You'll learn about it in here. You'll be able to experience in here, in this book, of course, the Bible, his word. But it's something that is up to us to dig into, to receive it, to embrace it, and enjoy it, because it's that abundant life. The word life, as I teach, I will bring out original text definitions, because to me, it just enriches the scriptures. And it helps me to understand them better. So I will do that when I teach quite often. So I have a few tonight. The word life is the Greek word zoe. And it was, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. So this is a Greek word, zoe. And it's a noble word, expressing all the highest and best which Christ is and which he gives to his family. the highest and best. That is a noble word. The highest and best that Christ is. He says, here, here, it's yours. It's yours. He got it for us. He wants us to enjoy it, and it is an abundant life, just rich with provision. The more abundantly means, the abundant word means exceedingly, above measure, very much, to overflow. I love that that's part of it, because what we have is to flow out of us. We're to be full of His Word, of the knowledge of what He gave to us, so that we can help others and we can share and we can be a blessing to our families, to co-workers, to whoever you come in contact with, that life just overflows to others. People need answers. Have you noticed that? There's so much out there that is just hard and difficult, and I work in the prayer ministry, and we get some really heartbreaking prayer requests. People are just desperate, but you know what? We're going to point them always. We pray for them, but anytime we share here in classes, they're going to get this, so that they can live this abundant life. And it's for everyone. It's for every one of His children. Life has challenges, as you know. That's why you're in here. You probably need some healing. And it's not a perfect life, because we are at the very beginning that I read out of the scripture, John 10:10 says, the thief. We have a thief out there. He's called an adversary. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. Jesus dealt with him and defeated him for us. But we have to enforce that defeat upon him with our faith and with our the authority Jesus has given us. So the Lord's done everything He's going to do for your healing, for your victory, for your abundant life. So it's up to us to learn what the Scripture says, to apply it to our lives, and to use it in our daily walk with Him and in life that we live. Because we're gonna meet up with some things probably on a daily basis, because it's that's how the enemy does. He doesn't give up. He's not gonna relent. But we know if we have the Word in us, if we have the faith that comes from that Word, if we know our authority, if we know how we can use what He's given us, we can win. And He's made a way for us to do that. Actually, in 1 John 5:4, it does tell us that. It says, for whatever, and you are a whatever, whatever is born, we could say whoever, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So there we have two awesome words. We have victory, we have overcome, we have faith. It's just a huge declaration of how we are to live in life. We are made to be overcomers. I love how the Dutch word for overcome is overwinner. And that just means you just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. And but I love that definition of an overcomer in the Dutch language. Because he's made us to be that, and as we choose to get into the Word and just really make it a part of our lives and live it and ask the Lord to help us, to guide us through life, he's going to guide us down a path of victory. So we're learning. We're going to learn in here. In these weeks that you're with us in here, you're going to get more and more about faith, about victory, about winning. 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm going to just read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. Did you hear that? He always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. Trophies represent wins, don't they? Somebody has a sports competition, and they get a trophy and probably set it on the mantle, or they look at that and they see it as a reminder of their victory. Probably hard work, probably, just a lot of effort put forth. But it says that we our triumphs are as trophies to the Lord. And you just think about that, how pleasing the Lord is to see when we win. It's a trophy to him because he knows that we took what his son did for us and we applied it to our lives and we walked in faith and we won in a situation. I mean, he's faithful. He's faithful. You can win every time. You know, it's not, we like to say in here that, you know, these things don't fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. It is just something we apply ourselves to. So sometimes you think, oh, that sounds like hard work. Well, it's work. It's effort, but it's not hard. It's a pleasure and a delight. The more you're in the Word, the richer your life becomes. The more I'm in the Word, I feel like there's something just expands in me or something. I just get lighter or something. So this is such a beautiful book. And it's, every word is teeming with life. Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace you are have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Have you ever thought of it as a gift? You know, when you get a gift, you have sometimes it's in a really pretty package with a pretty bow. Have you ever thought of what God has given us through salvation like that? That it's just a beautiful gift that we can dig into, so to speak, and find out what's in there. It's full of treasures and provision for us, and it's a gift from him. Salvation is a gift, and we're so thankful for it. It's nothing we put forth effort to earn, of course. It's not anything we do to receive our salvation. Everything is from him, and he deserves all of the glory. Gifts, like I said, they contain nice things. You can open it up and there's something nice in there. Well, his gift of salvation has a wealth of precious treasures. Healing is one of them. And here's another Greek word. The definition for saved is the word for saved in the Greek is S-O-Z-O, pronounced sozo. And it includes healing and cure, to preserve, to keep in a good condition. So this is what we have to do. We don't just read about that word, but we receive his salvation. We receive the benefits of salvation that he's provided for healing. And we read about that in different places. We'll go to some places here in Scripture this afternoon and see what he said about our healing. Even though sozo says, you've been healed. I provided healing for you. I provided a cure. I provided for you to be preserved. You're going to have to dig around and find the scriptures that give you that provision so you can get faith to receive it. Our healing has to be received. We had to receive salvation by faith, because that's what this word says. By grace are you saved through faith. We receive salvation by faith. We receive healing by faith. It's a requirement for everything we get from God. You know, Jesus isn't going to go back to the cross and do things over again. He's done it all. So we accept that, we believe that, we receive that. But just know, in that package of salvation, that present, that gift, healing is a part of it. It's not just, you know, wait until you die to get heaven, which is wonderful. We're so glad we have that. And we're just going to be so happy with heaven. It's the older I get, the closer I get. Oh, whew, heaven waits me. And it's just such a good thought for knowing that heaven's there. But down here, he didn't intend for us to just slog along and just kind of make it. He wants us to win. He wants us to be those overcomers. This is our Father, our Heavenly Father, who's cheering us on. So, come on, I got this for you. Come on, kids. Let's get in here. Believe this. Get into the Word. Get that Word in you so you have faith to receive your healing, faith to receive your provision for, you know, whatever. If it's, you know, finances or, you know, things where your relationships are concerned, a restored relationship. I mean, things that God has answers for all through his Scripture. So he wants us to find out what they are, take them, receive them, and walk in them. Sozo also means rescue from destruction. Rescue from destruction. And that certainly is the destruction of hell. We're rescued from that. But what does sickness do? It pretty much can destroy your body. It can cause things in your body just to not function right, and that's destruction. That goes back to John 10:10. The thief, those things come from the thief. It's just an atrocity to hear somebody state that they think God put something on them, you know, a sickness or some kind of horrible disease. That's just such a lie from the pit of hell, because God is a good God. Every good gift comes from him. These things come from the enemy, and it's meant to kill, steal, and destroy. It is that destruction. But Sozo said, I rescue you from destruction. I have done it. So you can have that freedom. The summation of the word sozo, I did find this in, I think it was in a lexicon as well. It says, it means saved from physical death by healing, and from spiritual death by forgiving sins. So that's what he does for us. He heals us, restores us. And I've heard people say, well, how are you going to die if you don't have a sickness? And I thought, you know, he says he'll take our breath away. Why would we die with a sickness and disease when Jesus already bore that for us and lifted it off of us and carried it for us? We don't have to die with a sickness and disease. I know of people who've died, lived many years, and just gone on. I have my brother-in-law's grandfather, who was in his 90s. We called him Grandpa Crawford. And he just loved the Lord. He had been blinded. It was just this horrible thing. And he had worked a mule, and this is way back some time ago, of course. But he had a whip that he cracked over the heads of the mule as he was plowing, and it came back and hit him in the eye and put his eye out. Oh. Well, sometime after that, he was spraying some poison on some stuff to kill the poison, and the wind whipped up and blinded his other eye. So he did have that debilitating thing in his physical body toward the end of his life. I don't know if he knew anything about healing or not, but he knew that the Lord was his Savior, so he would go to heaven when he died. And the day before he went to heaven, he was in his 90s, I can't remember, 90-something. But anyway, he told his daughter, he was living with his daughter and her husband, he said, tomorrow, daughter, tomorrow I'm going to cross the river. And so the next day he sat in his little rocking chair on the front porch, and he went home to be with the Lord. He didn't have sickness and disease in his body. Yes, he was blinded, but that was a thing, you know, accidents had happened and put his sight out. But he just knew when he was going to go. And God just took his breath, and he went on. So we don't have to die with sickness and disease. God can take us without that. So let's just live life free, because Jesus has provided it. He definitely has accomplished it. That was done on the cross. I want us to look at Isaiah tonight. I'm going to just read it to you. You can turn to it in your Bible, Isaiah 53. Isaiah was a seer. He was a prophet, and he saw into the realm of the Spirit, and he saw Calvary. He saw the cross. He saw what Jesus was going to do. And it was 700 years before the cross. So he... hundreds of years before this happened, Isaiah saw this, and he wrote about it in the book of Hebrews. Isaiah 53:3-5, and I'm going to read this. See if there's where that tissue is. Oh, here it is. Here. Oh, I'm sweating. It's hot up here. These lights are really warm. I'm going to read it out of the Young's Literal Translation. There again, it's out of the original Hebrew text. The translators, sometimes when they've translated the scriptures, like into King James or New King James or some of these other translations, they will kind of give their own impression of some of the words. And I'm sure they try to follow it the best they can. But I like the Young's Literal because it's exactly what the Hebrew word said. And if you want to follow in your Bible, you can. But verse 3 says, he is speaking about Jesus, says, he is despised and left of men, a man of pain and acquainted with sickness. As one hiding the face from us, he is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely our sickness he hath borne, and our pains he carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten by God and afflicted. They thought all of these horrible things Jesus was going through was God was punishing him. But as Isaiah is writing, it was not the case. Verse 5 says, and he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his bruises there is healing to us. By his bruises, those are blows that cut in, the stripes. That it was a Roman scourge, so they just ripped his back to pieces. He didn't have to do that for our sins. He didn't have to do that to see us go to heaven, because that was taken care of on the cross with his bloodshed. This was his body was broken for our physical healing. And that's why if you take communion, that's what the blood, the body, the broken body, the little wafer we take, it's broken. That represents his broken body. And that's that's for our healing. I know several years ago I had a little neighbor that had been diagnosed with cancer. And she was elderly. And I went to visit her. And she was a Christian, a believer. And when I left her house that day, the Lord told me that I was to go back and have communion with her. And so in 2 weeks, I felt like I was to go back. So I went back and took the elements and told her that, you know, I was going to take communion with her. And the Lord told me, do not lay hands on her for her healing. Just let's take the communion and let her receive it. And so we took the communion, and she, she knew that the juice represented the blood. The wafer represented his broken body. And as we just worshiped the Lord, as she took the communion, she was walking with a cane at that time because she was very sick. She got up out of her chair. She threw her cane down. She threw her hands up in the air and started walking around the room free from cancer. And she lived many more years. But nobody prayed for her. Nobody laid hands on her. She just received what happened with a broken body and the shed blood. And so you can receive that way too. It's just an amazing way that God has provided for us to receive our healing, just to accept that. So that's beautiful to me. It touches my heart still. All right, in Matthew 4, just at the very beginning of Matthew 4, it just talks about it's the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And Isaiah spoke about that in Isaiah 61:1 and in Luke 4:18 and 19. You want to turn there? This again is speaking of Jesus, as Isaiah was speaking about him coming. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is a prophecy prophesied about Jesus as well, because Jesus himself quoted this in Luke. Let's turn to Luke, chapter 4. Luke Jesus in verse 18 quoted this very scripture that Isaiah had prophesied about him. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And as we read this, we can see that the theme of this is freedom, freedom, freedom. I mean, it's just all over the place. To heal, that's freedom from sickness. This is brokenhearted, but he came to heal, physical things as well. Liberty, that's freedom. Recovering of sight, that's freedom. Set at liberty, that's freedom. And I think set at liberty those that are oppressed, I think so much about the mental oppression people are having going through these days, so much mental anguish and stuff. Jesus came to set them free from that oppression, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord, the Jewish people knew what that meant. That was the year of Jubilee. To them, it's in the book of Leviticus, it came every 50 years, and that meant they were free. Well, Jesus is saying in verse 21, it says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I'm your Jubilee. You can be free now. You don't have to wait for every 50 years to receive your freedom from things, from the oppression, from the things that have held you in bondage. So he just really, made them mad is what he did. They were ready to stone him after that. But he said, I'm your Jubilee. I'm your freedom. That's what he's saying to you. No matter what sickness or disease you're dealing with, no matter what oppression, I'm your freedom. I'm your freedom. Sozo, I've already done it. I've already saved you from those things. It's you receiving it by faith, really getting into the Word, finding what the Word says, getting that faith in your heart. That's key to everybody has to have their own faith. Faith is required to receive your healing. So, and it's not hard. People look at these things and say, oh, that's so hard. He did not make it hard. All you have to do is believe, believe. There's some scriptures, I will bring them out in another teaching probably. It talks about those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. So if you trust his word, there's no way for you to be disappointed. He's faithful. He will always do his part. But these verses are just so powerful. This is what he came to do. And he came to heal, to proclaim liberty, to open prisons to those who are bound. So many people are bound in a crippled body. That's a prison. That is a prison that the enemy has them in that Jesus wants them out of. So he came for that. Do you believe it? Yes, we believe. We believe this word. Let's go to Matthew 4. Verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." The gospel was good news. That's what it means. It's good news. Everything about him is good news. "And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them." And he healed them. There was nobody turned away. He had healing for everyone. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Let's flip over there. Just getting a foundation as we start these series of healing class. These are true. These are strong foundation scriptures. Isaiah 53, the ones we read there. This one as well, because Jesus was fulfilling Isaiah 53. Verse 16, it says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." It's exactly what we read in Isaiah 53:4. He did it. He did it. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And he goes around healing still today. So I love this particular portion of verse 16. He cast out the spirits with a word. You know, it's just like another scripture says, casting out spirits with the finger of God. That just gives us a picture of our adversary. We do not have to be afraid of the enemy. Yeah, he's out there and he's evil and horrible, and he wants to just do anything in the world to you that he can to hurt you and bring you down. But you have to know that Jesus defeated him. He made a show of him when he went into went into hell, and he rose victorious. He defeated him. His works are destroyed. And you think, well, why? Why do we still see these things? Because he has not been annihilated. He's been defeated. We, as a body of Christ, have a part to play. We're called the army of God. We are soldiers. What do? They fight a fight of faith. Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. Well, what was he fighting against? It was the things of the enemy that he had to push back. And that's what we do with the enemy. We push him back and tell him no. You know, that's when the enemy tries to put something on me. That's the first word that comes out of my mouth. No, I'm not receiving that. You may not do that. Jesus bore that for me. I'm not having it. Be determined. Be firm with him. In the name of Jesus, when you speak that name, it says Jesus himself were speaking that name. You're representing Jesus. And he takes over at that point. It's like, okay, you spoke my name. Now I've got it from here. Isn't that wonderful? I'm talking about sozo. I'm talking about the salvation he got for us. I mean, we are such a blessed people. Wow, open that package. Open that gift of salvation. Everything is in there is, oh, beyond wonderful. Let me see. I think I have time to really go a little bit deeper into this. I'll just kind of go over it briefly. But I want us to look at one of the individual healings that's talked about in the scripture, in the four Gospels. There are 19 in all of individual. Now, Jesus healed multitudes, but individual healings, there are 19 that I can count. So, and we're going to focus on a few this time, you know, this session of healing class, I think. But Jairus is one of my favorite. And what I'm going to do is go over some points, and then at the end, I want y'all to see some things. Then, as I go over them, we're going to go back and read fully the verses that I talked about. You've got a place on your paper to take notes, write these things down. I've got a few of them written on your page of notes about in Mark 5. But just be good students. Take notes. And take advantage of my studies, because that's what I'm here for, to help you. But these things are written for our learning. Are you a disciple of the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Yes. Does he live in your heart? You're a disciple. Okay, you know what a disciple is? It's a learner. That's what the definition of disciple is. It's a learner. So that's what we're always, we have our antenna up to learn more, to take in more. I am having the privilege of spending time with a young woman that is standing for a healing, and I meet with her usually once a week, and the definition that I have of her is she is such a learner. She's so hungry. She's such a learner. She pulls it out of me. It's like she wants to learn. She wants to get more faith in her. And she has seen some victories. She's still believing for a major thing, but she's gonna see the manifestation of it, because she has taken it in and taken it in and taken it in, and it's gonna pay off. And that's what we do. We take in this word and we take it in and we take it in. And it's gonna pay off. Your faith's gonna grow. The Bible talks about faith that takes, and that's one of the things in this story in Mark 5. I'm not going to go over it tonight, but Jesus made mention of a man's great faith. It impressed him, and it pleased him so much. I want to impress the Lord with my faith. Not only just for my benefit, just to please him. Don't you want to please the Lord? I mean, that's what we're here for, is to serve him and please him with all of our life. But Mark 5, we're going to start with I'm going to talk about some things and preview some things, and then we're going to go back and read it. But it will start with verse 21. But Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, and that was a pretty lofty position. He probably had a lot of honor and respect shown him. He was people deferred to him. I mean, they were probably scared of him, actually. You know, they held a lot of clout, so to speak. So he was very respected, and but he came when he needed some healing for his daughter. His daughter was near death. And like I said, we'll go back and read the story in a minute. His daughter was near death, but he heard, you know, he'd heard of Jesus, that Jesus was a healer and he was doing miracles. So he came to Jesus, and the first thing he did was he fell at his feet. This man who probably, people probably went, what's Jairus doing? I mean, he's such a you know, high up in the ranks guy. Why is he doing this? But what we're seeing is Jairus' heart. He fell at his feet. One definition said prostrate. In other words, he just fell on his face. That showed his heart was honoring. He's bringing honor. He took a lower position with the Lord. And people who have this entitlement thing and think God, you know, well, look who I am. The Lord's going to have to do something for me. No, that's not going to work. We humble ourselves. So Jairus humbled himself. He showed respect and reverence. And then as he humbled himself, he asked earnestly of Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And he made a confession of faith. I'm so impressed. He did something that we teach about. And I don't know that he was taught to do this, but he expressed his faith. He said, she will live. If you come and you have hands on her, she'll live. So Jesus went. I mean, I'm thinking, the Lord's thinking, phew, there's faith here. I'm going. So he just like a magnet. Here we go. Then in verses 25 to 34, there was an interruption by a little gal who needed healing herself. But to me, this is probably something that Jairus looked at as, what's going on? Jesus stopped, of course. He stopped to help this woman, and we'll probably have stories about her more in the days ahead in this class, because she's a favorite of ours too. But Jairus had to wait as Jesus ministered to this woman. It could have been a substantial time, because the woman told her story, and she was just talking to the Lord, and you know how we women are when we tell our story. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I went to all these doctors, and, you know, this doctor told me this, and, you know, and it's a long story probably, and Jairus had to wait. As I study the word wait out, it's very interesting. It means to wait in faith, scripturally. Wait in faith, and Jairus did that. He waited in faith. He was patient. He waited. He may have had some machine gun bullets plummeting his thoughts like, oh, you know, look what's happening now. This is interrupting. You're, you know, this woman is taking your time. You had Jesus walking with you, and now she's interrupting. You know, the enemy, he was human, and the enemy probably had some things to say that really try to mess with his thoughts. But Jairus did a very wise thing. He stayed close to Jesus. He stood there right, and he waited. He stood close to Jesus because I know this, because when the report came that his daughter had died, And not to bother the master any further, Jesus heard what the report said, and he turned to him immediately, and he said, don't be afraid, only believe. Wow. Don't be afraid, only believe. And you know, those are the words that saved him from quitting. So he stayed there, and Jesus went with him, and he saw his little daughter raised and also healed, because something had made her sick to where she died. So she had to be healed of that condition. So she was raised from the dead and healed, and she was 12 years old. So those words, don't be afraid, only believe. But he stayed close to Jesus, and he, you know, waited, and he was patient, and he saw his victory. So let's go back and read them now. This is a little bit different way to approach this, but I wanted to share those things, and let's, as I'm reading it, as we're reading it together, let's just kind of remember these things I mentioned. Now when Jesus, verse 21 of Mark 5, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, and Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. So there's the honor and the respect and the humility. He fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly. And that, as I studied that, it was just, he really besought him. This was a heart thing. It wasn't just a real casual, you know, asking for something. He really, his heart was hurting. He said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. His confession of faith is so important because our confession of faith has to agree with what we believe too. So that's why we have to have this word so in our heart. So we believe this word and this word only, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's said, no matter, you know, what's going on in your body or what a report may be. We just have to have that confession. The Bible says that we are to believe and speak what we believe. And he was believing that she would live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And so then we go the few verses here from 25 to through 34. Those are the woman with the issue of blood. So we won't go into detail there. There's amazing things there as well. But verse 35 says, while he was still speaking, see, this woman's still, yeah, and this happened and that happened, and you know what they did to me. I mean, this is just women. We have a lot of words. So she was just pouring it all out there. And Jesus was just letting her talk and talking to her, encouraging her. And he had told her that her faith had made her well. He called her daughter. You really don't see him calling women daughter. I mean, you don't see that much. But that was a very tender thing for him to say to this woman. So just a lot of compassion in his, relating to her. So, but while he was still speaking, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. He said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He did this because he knew, you know, they had faith. They would believe with him. He didn't want any, that culture, they would hire people to mourn. They paid people to wail and mourn and cry. You know, get away. You know, he didn't want any of that around him. But he let the parents go in too. But it says, verse 38, he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those that wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make you this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, which was Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the little girl arose and walked. She was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them to strictly that no one know it, and that something would be given to her to eat. So, I mean, just such an amazing story, a beautiful story, that things we are to learn from. You know, the Bible says these things are written for our learning, and there we go back to the disciple. We are to learn from these things, not just read over and thought, well, that's an interesting story, yeah, but just learn from these points, like I've got on the paper. Just take those and think about what they mean to you personally, that we're to learn from these things and we apply them personally to our lives and say, how can I get better here? Have I been in fear about things? Well, I need to change that. Fear is not going to work. And that's what Jesus told him. Don't be afraid, only believe. If he had just gone, I quit, I walk away, his little daughter would have not been raised from the dead. So there's so much in these stories and these accounts in the Bible that we are to grow from and learn from. So the Lord has, just encourage you, he has your victory. It's done, it's gotten, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how long you've been dealing with it. Just take the scripture, find the scriptures that the ones we went over here, the will of God is he went about and he healed all, and he still does that today. He hasn't changed. And that Jesus, out of when you read Isaiah 53, see that he did that for you. He bore it. He lifted it off of you. He carried it for you so you don't have to bear it. And you know, as long as I have been doing this for many years, I still make those confessions of, Lord, you bore for me every sickness and every disease, so I'm not going to have it, you know. Now, I've had my occasions to, you know, deal with sickness myself, so I know I'm speaking from you from experience. You know, you have to continue to be sharp in these things, because I am 78 years old, so, and I have been having healing manifested to me for 50 years. Or better, a little over 50 years. But I have had to continue to keep the healing scriptures in me, make it, speak them out, put them in me, think about them, meditate on them, just apply them to our life. See myself. These belong to me, and they're mine. And I thank you, Lord, that you bore things for me, and these illnesses or these attacks that I've had. And some things, sometimes I've had things just lift off to me really quickly, but other things I've had to stand. But it doesn't matter. I'm an overwinner. And you are too. And but I've had experience. But, I've had things that I've had to really, adjust in my life, so I make sure that I stay in faith and I stay grounded in the Word of God. So this is your answer. This is where all of the treasures are. So make this something that you just are determined. This is a new day. If you haven't been in this, a new day. If you don't have a lot of scriptures, I know you were handed one tonight, I think Derek handed one out. But, you know, there's a lot. Just go back. I think I counted in the Gospels alone, the word heal in some form or other is there 55 times. So go to the back of the book in your concordance and look up heal, healing, healeth, whatever translation you have, and write them down. Write them down and begin to really put them in your heart, because you can win over whatever you're dealing with. Jesus has taken care of it for you. So, and you have a victory in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word and for the people that you brought here tonight. I trust, Lord God, that they've grabbed a hold of some things that maybe they hadn't seen it like that before. But your truth will make them free. And I pray, Father, that they value this word better than ever, more than ever before. And that they value what you've done, that the salvation that you've set them free, the freedom that you bought for them. And that they are truly overcomers, overwinners in this life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.